Let's go to 1 Corinthians 13 while we're at it here, rather, 11 chapter, rather, not the one on love. Before I read, I think we have brethren and sisters with us that are not familiar with how we have the Lord's Supper here, so you just watch how the people come. We have to go down certain aisles and go a certain way in order that the sisters can wash their feet in the back and the men go in the foyer there and draw the curtain, and there's room for about 6 or 7 people up here also have their feet washed, but it allows us to have the foot washing in continuity with the Lord's Supper. We're going, that's how Brother Branham had it. He had far less room than we have. And so you just watch how it's done. You'll have no problem at all. We're happy to have you. We're not close communicants. We welcome everybody because we don't judge anybody. The person has to judge himself, herself, and that's what it is. And as long as we're all here tonight, for one reason, partaking of this very peculiar word, because Brother Branham's word is very peculiar because it's God's word. If you came here and enjoyed it, well, you're one of those peculiar people we love and admire. So make yourself at home and just be with us. All right, now Paul tells us here, and let's rise, shall we, and give you a change of position. Then we'll be able to come soon as we... And it doesn't matter. You won't break any hurt my feelings that the brethren are going to serve. Just walk down the aisle now because I'm just going to talk a little bit here. Get ready to serve. For I have received, Lord, that which I delivered, also delivered unto you. Now notice that Paul delivered what he received. You know, I like that. Because some people try to make such a great mystery. Oh, God showed me something, but I ain't going to show you. He said, well, didn't Brother Branham sort of do that? No, he didn't. He would trick you every time, say, I don't think I'll talk about it, and a couple of minutes later, sneak in and talk about it. He never kept anything back that the Lord told him to tell us. What God said, don't tell him, he couldn't tell us, because the secret things belong to the Lord our God. But those things which are revealed belong to us. And I like Paul, he gave the people what God gave him. And this is what we see tonight. God gave him these ordinances. He gave them to us. They're perfect with what Jesus Christ himself said. It is truly the Spirit of God, and so we're going to take those ordinances. Now, he took the bread, and he broke it, and he said, this is my body broken for you. And he said, you do this remembrance of me, break it, and eat it. Then he took the cup and drank it and passed it around. He said, this is a remembrance of the testament of my blood. And he said, when you do it, you drink in remembrance of me. And he said, as often as you do this, and he never limited it. In the early church age, they went from house to house, and I suppose almost every single day, people did this. Can't do it too often, any more than you can come together and talk the Word of God too often. He said, as often as you do this, I'm going to tell you what you're doing. You're showing the Lord's death until he comes. It's just a little exercise in memory, commemoration. See, that's what it is. You're honoring God by doing this. Now, you know, in the very first century, they made mock of this. Oh, my, they made mock of it. And the communists, I don't know how many people remember, most of you are not near as old as I am, so you don't remember all those terrible cartoons the communists put out. And the Methodists were the greatest betrayers of Christianity in America. If you know the history, and you should maybe look at it sometime, and you had pictures of, I won't even mention the races and the people that drew these pictures, because I just want to stay away from that. You might think I'm a bigot of some description, and I try not to be. And they had Christ on the cross with his bowels hanging out and people chewing on or sucking on. Yeah. You never saw those cartoons, eh? You haven't even lived yet, have you? Hey, I go back in my 20s. All this stuff, these hideous things they've been doing way back there. And it's to a peak now. See, ridicule it. And the Catholics came and said, well, this is the real thing. And when we bless it, it becomes the actual blood and body. Hogwash. Nonsense. If you want the real body of Christ that lives and you can feed on, take the word. See, that the Holy Spirit anointed you. So, this is what he left us. And it's not some cartoon, some fantasy. It's a simple little exercise in faith. And that's what we do. We come around his table for that very reason. Now he said, the man examine himself. Don't attach anything too mystical to it. Don't get off the word of God. Just stay flat, steady with it. And it says, examine yourself. He that eats and drinketh unworthy, eats and drinketh judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are sick among you, many sleep. In other words, this little service that we have can be a blessing or a curse, because that's the way everything is with God. If you take it exactly as it's meant, it can be a blessing to you. How often have I heard people, in taking the Lord's Supper, as we call it, have been healed of various diseases? Same many people take it, unworthily perhaps, no doubt. They don't get to heal and just pass away in sickness and die. Now, of course, Brother Brand says something's got to take us out of this world, and I've lived my 70 while my wife has too, and maybe some of you are getting pretty close to it, some of you have got there. You can't ask God for longer life, but you can ask Him for good health. Now, if we judge ourselves, we won't be judged, but we will be trained and chastened, cautioned, reprimanded, corrected, that's the word, of the Lord, and therefore we will not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together, tarry one for another. In other words, what we're looking at here once more is, Brother Branham said communion was a communication. He said fellowship was like two men in a ship, a little boat. What I'm looking at here is for people, let down all your bars. Just don't think, well, I remember this about my brother. I tell you, I wouldn't trust him again or trust her again. You know, those things go through our minds. We're human. We're not at all godlike in that way. We could forget, but we don't intend to forget. You know? That's just the way human nature is. But there's a time around the table to say, Lord, I'm forgetting the whole thing. It's all right. It's water under the bridge. What does it matter? We've all learned by our experiences. I love my brother, love my sister. I'm devoted to the household of faith, the household of God. These are my people. And if you come in that attitude, you don't have any problems. Not a problem. So let's not worry about it. Let's bow our heads in prayer, then the brethren up here can serve those who are going to lead the service, the song service and all. Heavenly Father, I just pray one thing tonight for the people in simplicity of heart and humility toward Thee. Love and grace toward each other. Simply come forward and partake of these emblems and then join in foot washing in that same simplicity of heart and mind, which means not only brotherly kindness, but we're breaking a little more toward the light of love. So there's not only just forgiving, forgetting, but actually in joining and enjoining each other in a love feast, not worshiping each other, but worshiping God and loving each other, serving and helping, knowing this is the greatest calling of all, that is part of the household of faith, the family of God. We live under His headship in the light of His Word, motivated by the nature of His Spirit, so that as we walk in the light as He is the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ is cleansing us from all righteousness. We're going down that road together in a union with Thee and with each other. The sweet Spirit of Christ, we pray in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Think about that you're going to approach the table of the Lord in the right manner, and God can heal you. I never thought of that till tonight, how simple it is. The Lord has these wonderful things for us. It's maybe a bit of a mystery, but it's not so mysterious when you get healed. But the doctors can't do, God can. And this last hour, I feel we need the Lord more than we ever needed the doctor. I guess it's time to turn to Him as never before. All right, I know the roads are a bit slick out there, so we'll just pray for everybody to have a safe journey home. And well taken care of, and may the Lord bring us back tomorrow morning again for service. And we also have fellowship in the fellowship hall out there. And we'll take care of you physically. I mean, it's food-wise, I trust. And everything will work good. Let's rise and be dismissed then at this time. Heavenly Father, we appreciate Your people and coming together here at this time for the Word and for the ordinances You set before us. And we know, Lord, it's marvelous that You brought us down to such simplicity, which it is, even as the prophet said, I never knew how simple it really was, God in simplicity. And we appreciate that tonight. We pray now, Lord, as we go, You go with us to give us journeying mercies going home. Good night's rest, Lord. Come back tomorrow full of the energy which comes by faith through the Word of Almighty God to give us this healing in our body. That's what we need, Lord, at this particular hour. All of us with no exceptions, Father God in heaven.
May tomorrow be a great service, Lord, in Thy name, with hearts drawn closer to You, lives more circumspect, walking in the light as You're in the light, Lord, moving on as a beautiful family of the living God, casting out all fear through the love of Jesus Christ and the grace and mercy of our Father. Lord God, walking in the peace and comfort of the last day. These mercies, Lord, we know You've given us. We pray they might come to full fruition in your life here. In the holy name of Jesus Christ, we pray, amen. Take the name of Jesus with you.
My Bible's so well marked that it kind of falls open there anyway. Now, Paul is speaking there in verse 17, now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not that ye come together not for the better but from the worse. And I brought that to your attention many, many times. You can go to church and leave in worse shape than you came. You can take the table of the Lord and leave in worse shape than you came. You can wash feet and leave in worse shape than you came. The point is, how much can we humble ourselves to the word of Almighty God and allow God the privilege of doing what He wants to do in the way He wants to do it. Now, first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear there are divisions among you, and I partly believe it. Well, does Paul partly believe it, or does he believe it? I think what he's saying here, he says, I believe that a part of it is true, because I don't believe everything I hear. I'm not saying that's the exact interpretation. But otherwise, Paul is a little bit suave, and he could say, well, from what I've seen, and I've heard some pretty excellent men of real repute that wouldn't lie, I'm getting convinced that you've got trouble. He could have made that. But hey, when he wrote the first two chapters, there's no way he could say, I partly believe it, because he hit him right between the eyes on what they were doing about Peter and all the rest. I'm of Apollos. I'm of Paul. I'm of Peter. Well, did he just say that on hearsay? Now, come on. The Bible's not written on hearsay. A man of his character and fortitude wouldn't say something on just hearsay. Or he'd have to apologize for it. So, no matter how you look at it, Paul's a nice fella. He's not like me. Thank God. Or I wouldn't have any faith in him, I tell you that. Okay, there must also, but he said, for this must be also heresies among, for there must be also heresies among you. Well, if heresies don't divide you, what in the world does? And if heresies don't cause division, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. Now, man, oh man, that's a tough one. That is so tough that even the Apostle Paul said, the foundation of God stands assured, having this seal, the Lord, and the Lord alone, and nobody else knows who are His. It's a tough one, but I'm going to tell you, it's not too tough to really find out who is with it or who isn't. Just listen to them. You'll find in the majority of cases they simply cannot leave Brother Branham's word sit the way it is. They got to get some glorious picture out of it instead of saying, hey, the man is saying something right here. Hey, this should be in the Scripture. It's going to coincide. There's no big mystery. The mystery's unfolded. If you take that attitude, I don't believe it's too hard to come and see what Brother Branham says in the Word. I've been doing it now for a long, long time. And if God's with you, He's going to show you, because let me tell you flat, William Branham could not come and preach another gospel. He couldn't use the Old Testament as reference and be that prophet of God and make a bunch of mistakes. No. Now, when you come together in one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. In other words, he's going to tell you what you think is the Lord's Supper is not, but I'll tell you what it is. For in eating everyone taketh before other his own supper, and one is hungry, another is drunken. Man, you talk about a mess. What have you not houses eat and drink in, or despise you the church of God, and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. Now this lets you know that you can have the communion service and the foot washing right in your church. There's no problem. No problem. This is something ordained to God, the same as you have dedication of babies, the same as you have weddings, the same as you're allowed certain things. Does not desecrate the house of God one little bit. This doesn't either. I received the Lord that which I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night, the word same is not is in italics, the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. They said the same night, you don't need it because it was the night he was betrayed, that's when he did it. And when he had given thanks, he broke and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken you, this do in remembrance of me. There you are. After the same manner, he took the cup when he supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament of my blood, this do he's off, you drink in remembrance of me. Now remember, Brother Branham said, there's only one thing keeping the Catholic Church and all the Protestants coming together, and that's over the Lord's Supper. Now they're gradually opening doors to come to a place where they all agree and are not disagreeable over anything at all. So we're going to see this broken down more and more. Now, if the Protestant churches, which today are the filthy harlots, prostitutes, the daughter of the harlot, are as far steeped in the garbage of sin which they are, having changed the truth of the word for a lie, having changed it to the place where women can preach, cut their hair, wear illegal dress, everything else, and the men can too, abortion, this, that, and the other. Don't you think that they can spiritualize this to the place where, hey, if you think it's this, come on, buddy, it's all right by me. If I think it's that, it's okay by me. And both you're looking at the woman going down the aisle with shorts on, you're wondering if you can get in bed with her. I'm raw. I'm a raw preacher, but I'm going to tell you what goes on. If you haven't got enough brains to know, you're going to know from this pulpit. Because their eyes are full of adultery when they sit with you and have communion, my Bible tells me. So if you're shocked at what Lee Bale says, throw your Bible in the gutter. Burn it. I only make it 20th century. 18th won't do it. 19th won't do it. You get back to Queen Victoria. Thank God for old Queen Victoria. But you're not there anymore, naked, miserable, blind, and proud of it. We don't lack anything. Hey, man, it's all right. I could tell you a little story about a certain guy that I know, but we'll just skip it. Before I'm said, you can better believe this, that the reason he's sorry for what he did is because he got caught. Because he can't understand why the terrible things that he did makes a man that could never countenance those things want to clip him right in the chops. You got good imaginations by now, use them. As oft ye drink this cup, and ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Now, that's a good point to get together on. Ecumenism right here. He said, well, don't you understand that this drinking and eating has to do with his death? Yes, yes. Well, then does it really matter what's in your mind or what you place there as long as we've merged on the understanding? He said it was the body and blood. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, that's great. I'll drink with you. Now you're drinking with idolaters. You see how close we are? So I just read about the Pope going to the voodoo artist. Blessing his horse and blessing the man. Hi diddle diddle. The court in the middle. Might as well. Spiritus one day said, Bethlehem is in your belly. The solar plexus brain. That's where Christ is born in you. Well, I heard that when I was 20 years old. That story's 58 years old now. And the stories have only gotten worse. Where did the man get his stupid idea? In a seance.
Their stupider ideas coming out of Pentecostals who think they can discern. Your little boy's running around discerning now. And he's splitting up randomite churches.
We should invite him in here to see how much he splits. He might do the splits. Not by his own volition. If he tried it.
Door.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't prescribe violence. You know I don't. I'm a coward. But I certainly wouldn't hold my breath back and not stand up for the Word of God.
Yeah, that takes me back a long time, but I won't talk about it.
Let a man examine himself. That's why Brother Branham said anybody can eat and drink in his church as long as they're not living in filthy sexual sins. Yeah. Oh, by the way, I wonder if I can find something here. I'll leave it go. Bring it up another time where Brother Branham answered the question. Examine himself, for he that drinketh and eateth unworthy drinks condemnation, not discerning the Lord's body. Now, what we talked about tonight, outside of the fact of filthy living, you're entitled to the communion table and foot washing. Now, the examination of yourself would have to be, number one, your passive faith, which shows your participation in the true revelation, which signifies you are the seed of God. Now notice the next thing. Unworthy then would be those who have added to the Word or questioned to a degree something in the Word. Vindicated by the prophet. That's the word we talk about. So I would suggest here that the foolish virgins will be eating and drinking unworthily and coming into the judgment. But they'll be allowed in and given eternal life, even as Matthew 25 tells us. There is no mention there of the blood, the baptism with the Holy Ghost, or any of those things. Now, with this thought in mind, what we're looking at, wise and foolish virgin. How would anybody then deny anybody the table of the Lord? Can't do it. Can't do it. You'd have to know that someone has an actual record of filth. And then they'd be those whose eyes are full of lust, trying to get to your table. Just like it says in the book of Jude. So, here we learn the Word of God from Brother Branham. Taking everything he says and building from it as our life structure. Hoping to understand more than ever of the truly revealed faith that is in this Word and vindicated by a man who is given the authority to vindicate it. I'm not vindicated. The only hope I have is that I'm telling people right. If I'm teaching you wrong, you better believe I'm not teaching you wrong, because I believe something different what I'm teaching you. No way, shape, and form. I believe everything I've said tonight right from the ground up.
And I've been biting in hard, and I shall continue to be so. Because I'm in defense of what I believe, lock, stock, and barrel.
Hallelujah.
And the grace which we have here works both ways. I live here as the place where the ministry that I have goes forth. And Brother Branham said, Lee, you're just like me. You can live any place you want. Because he said, your message is not to a local congregation. Your message goes outside like mine. Those aren't the exact words, but that is the understanding. And I want this understood to full capacity. 100%, and it goes without favor or fear. From now on, I will challenge every single one of you. Because I'm going to defend myself and what I believe. I have never perverted what Brother Branham said. I have never used it to justify myself. I've never used it to confuse you or to hurt you. So don't try it on me ever again. A word to the wise or unwise is sufficient. Friendship with Jesus demands sacrifice, rebuttal, everything else. It does. But no man is vindicated outside of William Branham. I've never claimed vindication, but I claim the right to teach what I believe is the truth. We're going to have the table, Lord. It may sound like a sour note, but that's your tough luck. I got no apologies. Nor will I apologize. I do not intend to, because I have nothing to apologize for. For anybody. To God, perhaps. No doubt. Let's rise. Heavenly Father, we come to you now. At this particular moment, as we are now going to bring forth the emblems and partake thereof. And I know, Lord God, in heaven, that your word stands. And I've done my best, Lord, to teach what the prophet taught, going word by word, as even he did. And yet he commanded preachers younger than he himself who would take up this message to take what he said and expand it in the sense of deliberating more fully upon the exact precepts that he set forth so that no man could change the word or add to it or take from it, but rather expound on it. Showing the people more clearly that every single word knits with every other single word. And there is not one word that's in default concerning another. Any more of the trillions of cells in our body are at default one with another, or in competition, or envious, or in any way intended to be harmful. And as every member in the body of Christ suffers when one suffers, rejoices when one rejoices. Maybe we haven't got that far, Lord. But certainly we do stand with your word tonight, O God. Now we're going to take the table. And as we do, Lord, we know that we will honor your death till you come. That is, when you come in midair to meet us at the wedding supper. It is certainly true, Lord, as far as our faith is concerned and our understanding of the vindication of the prophet, we absolutely honor your resurrection. And in honoring your resurrection, it takes such vast precedence in our minds over your death that you've given us these symbols here to go back to what bodied, to bring us back, Lord, in fellowship and union with you, to cover the sins which are in this fleshly temple, to allow the Holy Spirit to come in and guarantee us the immortality that Adam so vainly tried to reach when it was too late. But in this hour, it is not too late. Lord, where we've been wrong in anything whatsoever, or if any thought of ours should tend to bend in a way that's not straight as an arrow with the Word, we ask you, Lord, to help us. Because the Word can correct the error. If there's anything in us, Lord, that needs correction, we know the Word is there to do it. So help us. In all of these hours, these last days in which we abide, because we know we're soon going to be out of here. Some of us by death. And Brother Branham made the strange statement many years ago. He said, I don't want to be leave this life kicking and screaming. I know he knew that many people did, but there's no way he would ever leave it kicking and screaming and fearing off. And by your grace, Lord, there won't be one of us. When we face that great day of crossing over, if we do in death, it will be, as it were, coronation day. A day that described by Brother Branham neither light nor dark, a hazy, dreary kind of a day, yet you're hearing it. But to cross over will be all the more glorious. To take up what we couldn't take up because it wasn't our destiny until that moment. And to be there, Lord, waiting with the others. The seven church age members waiting to come back. Anxiously anticipating the coming back to pick up glorified bodies. And then to go up again, far beyond the dimension in which that seven church age bride dwelt and the other six with them. To go up, Lord, in your very presence to the incarnation. To see fully that one in the form that we're anxious to see him in. Which we might say, not that we want to be too familiar, Lord, but see one who is like us, because he came like us, that we might become like him. Lord, that satisfies us. As Job said, when I awake in his likeness, I'll be satisfied. So that's how we stand tonight. So, Father God, we just look to you for whatever, what the blessing comes out of these tokens. We take these emblems to give us further strength and understanding and to walk in the pilgrim pathway. We give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, you know how we... I would think we're all finished now with the foot washing and communion service, and so we can go home, and I trust you have a good night's rest, and I trust I do too. Even better than yours. I'm not going to bet on it. It's usually about 2 hours, but maybe tonight we can get six. Tomorrow, I trust I'll be here with you. If I don't feel any worse, I'll certainly try to be here. And my throat holds out. Since I had two colds in a row, I haven't been able to get any throat back. But tomorrow, just maybe, we'll pray for sick. I don't know how the Lord's going to lead. But we'll see anyway, and we trust we have a good night's rest, and the word of the Lord becomes exceedingly precious to you. And let's rise and be dismissed, shall we? Heavenly Father, we want to go our way, but not without your blessing and your care, Lord. Again, Father, we pray that you'll direct us by your word. Let it be a lamp and a light under our feet, O God, that we may not stumble in the things of this world, Lord, because we know that the greatest error in all the world is to err within your word, Lord, and we do not want that. And yet the prophet said the word corrects the error, and Father, we believe, and we're constrained to believe, Lord, not by any pride or any sense of false security or any vaunting or any positioning ourselves, Lord, but rather
according to the word that says, blessed is the man whom thou callest and causes approach unto you, Lord. And we believe we've come that way. So, Father, we identify with you with the word, not by our own choice as though we said, hey, we're a part of this. But, Father, we believe that we've heard the shepherd call the sheep, the eagle scream to the eaglets, Lord. And we're standing on that the best we know how. And we've come to that place, Lord, I do believe, I certainly trust us. Live, die, sink, or swim. There's nothing else. This is it. There's no use looking further except in this word to see that this word furthers us until one day, strange enough, we'll be made perfect because those will not be made perfect without us. And then, Lord, as they come forth, we'll come forth with them and be taken away. And Lord, what else can we say? This is what we believe. We believe what the prophet taught. Lord, of the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be all power, honor and glory through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. That as we come forward, there's one brother serving the bread and two people serving the wine, so we are able to get through quicker. The sisters go out in the back there. There's that nice big room to wash your feet in. The brethren have a place in the hall. They pull the curtain, and back here there's room for about 12 people. There's six chairs. That means 12 people. So, all right. And I would ask the brethren, as soon as some should pass through the line, that they begin to fill the basins back here, so that as we wash feet when the communion's over, I don't believe you'd be disturbing anything because you're in another room. That's how Brother Branham did his tabernacle, very tiny. As they got through serving, they would go to the rooms and wash feet, and then maybe four men in this little tiny cubicle, four women, tiny cubicle, they just keep moving out. It was a glorious experience, and I didn't even know it, because I didn't know the first thing about foot washing. I said, my goodness, why bother doing this? It doesn't rub off being with the prophet. It has to come in from his help. Now, let's take a look at the 10th chapter of the book of 1 Corinthians. Now, Paul is speaking here about people who were baptized unto Moses in the cloud and sea. They all ate the same spiritual meat. That's every single person. And Moses was the one that brought the manna. He just shared the same manna, no difference at all. And the spirit, and the rock that followed was Christ. And at that time, God overthrew a bunch because they went right into idolatry, claiming to believe the word that was vindicated for the hour. You didn't hear what I said, really. You thought you did. It refers back to what I was preaching. If men come here and try to lead you astray, and you listen, what are you in? Well, I believe the message. Not if you believe something contrary because somebody wants to butter you up and say things and tickle your ear and pull you away. You're believing a lie. You're an idolatry. I'm not slamming you again. I just want to read this Bible the way it's written. So that nobody's going to go away saying, well, you know, I had this other idea. Well, you can have as many ideas you want. I'm telling you what it says here. See? God was not pleased. Overthrown on us. Now, these things were for our examples, to the intent that you should not lust after evil things as they also lusted, neither be idolaters as some. The people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. And notice, and right away he's going to talk about the Lord's Supper. Neither let us commit fornication, some commit and fell in one day 23,000. Brother Branham said he never did forgive them. They were serpent seed. They weren't even foolish virgin. Foolish virgin, they're forgiven but not justified. Why are they then in adultery? But God loves them, because you're foolish virgin. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some tempted and were destroyed as serpents. Tempting Christ. Neither murmur, as some murmured and destroyed the destroyer. Now, all these things happen for examples. Now he tells you the right there again, boy, there are examples. Now you watch it. And written for admonition upon whom the ends of the world has come. Wherefore let him that thinks stands, that take heed lest he fall. And remember, there's no temptation taking you, but it's common to men, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above what you're able to bear, but will with the temptation make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Now, how do you escape? By bearing it. How do you escape what's in the world I'm talking about? Staying with this message.
listen. It said they were tempted. Who tempted Eve? Oh, the handsome, bigger-than-life man that was just exactly like Adam. But, oh, he was a different color. And he maybe was 9 feet or 10 feet tall. And when he said, honey, baby, you're gorgeous. And seduced her. And had sexual intercourse with her. Defiled her. And she became a prostitute that interrupted the plan of God. Well, that couldn't happen to me. It says, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. You think you can play with these things, and I warn and warn and warn. The world comes tumbling down upon your ears. Don't blame me. I don't hate anybody, but I'm not so stupid. I'm going to get trapped with this stupid Pentecostal love, love, love. Remember, Brother Branham said, and I taught it message after message, how can you not help love each other, you that love this word? Not personnel. That's as bad as my dentist putting teeth in two doggone big because he wanted me to be pretty. And I said, Doc, I'm not here to get cosmetics. I'm here to make my teeth work. Now I've got to go back and get them all fixed up. So much for cosmetics. I'm not in any beauty contest. Neither are you. See? Don't be fooled. Pretty, pretty. Love, love. Sweet, sweet. Wherefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak to you as wise men. Judge what I say. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? Is not this the speaking blood that speaketh unto us better things? The speaking blood that comes back and pronounces peace and redemption and justification upon our soul? Well, it says right here, it is. And the bread which we break, is it not the communion, the body of Christ? In other words, brothers and sisters, this message alone has life and all other has death. If you and I have this message, we are the body that has life. Now, do you want to give it up to death? Let me tell you men something. And I'm going to tell you straight from this desk here. You are responsible for your wives and your kids. And if you lead them astray, it is not because of Lee Vale. It is because of your own lust and your unwillingness to assume the responsibility. And you think you can fool around. Yeah, you're responsible. You say, what if my wife will not come along? Hey, you're not her savior. Just treat her like your queen, long as she doesn't bother you, so you can't go to church. You can't pray, you can't do so. And so the minute he or she says that, you got a divorce, but you can't marry. You say, well, I won't divorce because I would want to remarry. I'll stick with her. Then you just got to take her jibes and walk off. just let her tantalize you. Let her bug you. When she says you can't go, you say, well, I'm going. And you find your pajamas all in knots, your things thrown out in the yard. Just gather them up and sleep in the basement. I hope she may drop you a crumb the odd time. You say, hey, that doesn't sound like fun. Who said it was? You watch, because that woman leaves a print upon you when you married her and you got in bed with her. Oh, I don't believe that. Then you don't believe the prophet. What are you sitting here for? Now, I tell jokes, but listen, I'm not joking. All right, we're one body, one bread. All of us make one loaf. One body. For we, being many, are one bread and one body, and all partakers of that one bread. Behold, Israel after the flesh, are not they which eat of the sacrifices, eat of the sacrifice, partakers of the altar? All priests and kings unto God. What say I then? The idol is anything, or that which is offered is sacred to idols is anything? Oh, no, we said nothing at all. But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. I would not that you have fellowship with devils. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and the table of devils. Aha, that's it, Brother Dale. I know those guys that go to these women that have seances. I know those people in spiritism. I know you don't know what you're saying. All right. You know why? What was the first fellowship little old Eve had with the devil? He said, honey, you really don't believe that word, do you? Huh? So while you and I are looking at this, saying, hey, hey, watch them blue lights, watch this over here, watch the other thing. And there are people sitting here tonight, at least one accused of it by a patent liar. He himself is fellowshipping with the devil because he's off the word. He said, now, Brother Dale, I'm going to tell you that you can't say that. Can't I say it? Where was the first intercourse of humanity with the devil in the Garden of Eden when the serpent full of the devil came and said to Eve, listen, you really don't believe that, do you? And she took the cup of devils. And something happened to her and to her husband. And since then, we're all hybrids from the original. Yeah. How do you get back? All right. All things are lawful, all things are not expedient, all things are lawful, all things edify not. Let no man seek his own, but every man another's. Whatever sold in the shambles, eat without asking questions. Don't worry about it. The earth's the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Don't bother being foolish with these foolish questions and foolish engenderments and all those things. He said, look, if you've got such a weak conscience, then stay away from it. But he said, I myself, I'll just give thanks to God and eat it. See? Now watch. He said, be ye followers of me, even as I am Christ. Now I praise your brethren, you remember me in all things and keep the ordinances and so on. We'll take that next communion. There's something more I want to tell you. I'm going to leave it at this point because we'll talk about it later. But I hope that you begin to see where I'm coming from. And I'm not mad at anybody. I'm just trying to clear the air and let you know, hey, I'm not fooling. And I will not tolerate fooling around me. And if you listen to it, you're going to get defended on because I will not tolerate it. And if I've got to go someplace else, I will go someplace else. And I'm still not threatening you and say, yeah, he's using psychology and so on. I've got news for you. I'm 78 years of age. I've got operations facing me. I don't have it easy. And I'm not going to have anybody on my back anymore. It's over. And I'm not having anybody stonewall me anymore. And lying anymore. Right. It's right. If you want to fool with somebody else. How many people are down there with you, Pruitt? How many? That's a nice little group to start with, isn't it? Hey, Larry, wouldn't be bad, eh? I want you to notice this. I'm not kidding. I don't want to kill anybody, hurt anybody, rip up wheat with tares or anything else. But listen, I've told you. Grace Gospel Ministries, it belongs to Lee Dale, and I don't answer to anybody but to Almighty God, and at the same time, I'm answering to God for you because you wanted me here and you agreed. And at this point, every contract has been broken. I ask you a question. If you were in my boots, what would you do? See, I don't think we should take Lord's Supper. I think we shall. I've got no problem. Not a one. Because I don't believe there's one single person sitting here that heard me tonight is at variance with what I preach. And if you are, God have pity on you that you can be a hypocrite, and I'll bring that out from what Brother Branham said in this message. You might not think I love you, but I got news for you. I'm clearing the air for everybody here that loves this word and wants it. And we'll not shilly-shally. We'll not hide. We'll not compromise. We'll not play footsie. You can't do it anymore because all that footsie and all that junk has all come back on Lee Vale. Now you say you love me? I don't believe you love me. For all the good I've tried to do, and I'm excoriated by people, and some can't stand, contrary to every evidence, you'll play footsie and go and talk to people, draw them out, and they tell you. Oh, come on now. If I never see you again, I'm going to see you there before the white throne. I know what's happened in this church. I can tell you plump and plain. Remember way back when I told you people, you didn't believe that I was going to leave you. You didn't even know I had any plans. I preached a sermon you all had a good time at. In the end, I said, now here, it's the last sermon you heard me preach. And blew you plumb out of the water. That's when you got real hot and heavy over the same two guys. Yep. Did you listen? They'll tell you, hey, watch that man. Now, he knows the word. He's a minister. He's a son. Oh, yeah, he's a son of God. Oh, yeah, and he teaches. Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, I'll tell you something. There's something wrong about him. Because you see, the man and the message are two different things. What are they trying to tell you people? We and our message is the real thing. Oh, yeah, because my daddy told me. Yeah. I'm not the next thing to Brother Branham or Lord God Almighty, but I'm getting this across tonight, and I want once and for all. Because, hey, I got news for you before Almighty God. When I go west, there'll be no telephone, there'll be no tapes, there won't even be any preaching. I'll be sitting out there hearing Brother Branham's tapes and hoping I can get my soul and my spirit sweet and calm. People said, Lee, when you go, I'm going. You're wrong, Lord. You'll never come, and Dave, you'll never come. I won't let you. Not that I don't love you. But you'll never come. I won't let you. God never called you out there. God calls me. And I'm not being dramatic. I'm just telling what I've been through. And I'm not taking any more from anybody. So, Brother Dave, you got to. No, I don't got to, because these men want to destroy my ministry. They want to take me over. And as soon as I tell my side, there's a war in the camp. I must not tell my side. Now, let me tell you something. If I am telling the truth, and the husbands of the women lead their wives astray, they will answer for their wives. I've got a sister here tonight that goes to Brother Brian's church. She listened to a man that deceived her. Oh, he didn't assault her, sex, or anything else. He just deceived her, crippled her life, and she tried to get it back on order. These are preachers that did it. These guys don't even preach. Yeah. Well, we're going to wash feet, honey. We're going to take the communion. It's up to you. I'm not superior. I don't know a lot above anybody else. But God knows my heart. I have tried to find what this vindicated man said. I don't know what else to do. What else to do? And if you really believe in me, why do you listen to somebody who has one purpose and has lies And I got men here sitting tonight. One is Jim Pitts, and he can tell you how many lies were told. You see, you couldn't hide if you tried. And that doesn't mean I'm William Branham discerning. I'm just saying, hey, the whole thing is in the open. When you're shot down, it's your tough luck. Because I'm not taking one man's nickel. I haven't lied. I haven't hurt you. Haven't abused your kids. Your kids all love me. Because I love them. Now, we're going to take the Lord's Supper? You better believe we are. Let's rise. Heavenly Father, as we stand before you to partake of these emblems, which we know there's a communion of the blood, the communion of the life, there's a communion of the bread of the body. And now, Lord, tonight I hope that these people are of one mind to stand with the word, not as I am trying to say it, as though I am right and nobody else is, but in the knowledge that I am doing my dead level best. As far as I know that every single word the prophet taught that I brought, Lord, I know it is your word. And I trust that I've talked from the Bible, from what the prophet said, and seen the things in here that the prophet was saying. As the prophet told every preacher to break it down and feed it to the people. And Lord, I don't have people running interference for me. I have people running interference against me, trying to grab the ball, as Brother Branham said. And I've been appalled, Lord, to find this as though it were nothing. Some little tidbit, some little thing. Lord, I know your word said, it's a little fox as a spoiled vine. It's the fly in the apothecary's ointment that makes it distinct, not the horse in the slough. So I'm standing tonight, Lord, not trying to vindicate myself, but let the people know, hey, look, either I am or I'm not. If I'm not, get away from me for your own good. If I am, then at least have respect. Be honest with me. As I have tried to be. Help us in the taking of these communion with emblems. We might not feel too good doing it. Personally, Lord, I don't feel so great myself. And I can't excuse myself because I've been under pressure. Because that's no reason. But Lord, you told us to do it. And I'm going to do it in the knowledge of your commandment. And the best I know, I'm not drinking condemnation to myself. And if I am, Lord, I'm trying to clear the record right now, which I believe I've cleared with, far as I know, with every single person. I don't believe there's one person in here I need to clear one word with. I don't believe it. Examine our hearts tonight, Lord. Let us know the truth of this word, for if the Spirit of Christ abides in us, we are free. We are not free to do what other men do. We are free to do the will of the Lord, to follow His footsteps, and to believe in this hour. God, as you corrected every error under those seals, through the thunders, correct every error in my heart, in my mind. And if I've sounded high and mighty to the people, and if I am in my spirit high and mighty, just bring me right down, Lord. Bring me down to like crumble in death. Because it's a million times better, Lord, I go now, having sinned as much as I have, with adding further judgment upon me and condemning people, O God. Where I haven't agreed and said things by misunderstanding, I believe all that's cleared up too, Lord. And it grieves my soul that people have not been as frank with me as I've been with them in order to know the problems and the sorrows they faced in life. To lift up the fallen. To bind up the wounded. Yet at the same time, O God, to warn those that they cannot do the things that some are doing, even listen to them. For be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners. Walking with the ungodly will do the same thing. And above all, not standing for your word and your people, Lord, that try to be a part of that. I don't understand how people can endure harm for the sake of harm's sake and act as though it is nothing when it is something. And if I feel your rebuke, Lord, and there's tears and sore in my heart, which I have because I never really knew what Dave and his family went through and what Melanie's family went through. I knew, Lord, that Brother Shell, his marriage was completely destroyed by the same man and others too. And so many people don't understand the same thing could happen here. Because once the spirit is in control, it's the end of the walk, the end of the world to them. So God, tonight, I would confess my sins, my wrongs, in my heart, and hope that every heart is here, joined with me tonight, to lay everything out before you, ask forgiveness, to mellow our spirits, to direct our walk, to let the light shine in our eyes and upon our feet. We might not go astray and take others with us. We might come to the table of God free from all idolatry. And every form of evil communication, which is idolatry. We stand with the Word. And Lord, I know in my heart that this is what is spoken of in 2 Thessalonians. You that are troubled, relax. At the time when you're revealed from heaven, with your mighty angels, glorifying yourself and your saints. Funny, Lord. I've been rough, which I really didn't want to be, but I give way to my folly. Yet it's like when you call me to minister, I fought every inch of the way, digging my heels in and snarling and growling. But in that very hour, you gave me peace and rest in the midst of the tumult and the tempest. Because I'd said, yes, Lord, if you want me to go, I'm gone. And I believe the same thing can happen in this church tonight. For every heart can come into that glorious realm spoken of, who believes the message of the Apostle Paul, because we believe. We're resting what the prophet taught us. So we're partaking tonight. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. The brethren come forward. And Brother Lloyd up here to lead your song.
Before we do, I forgot to take a prayer request. I've been in touch with Brother White, and he's been running a high fever alternately, and it's very debilitating. He's very ill with it. And tonight we want to pray the prayer of faith for our brother, that the Lord will raise him up and just give him his health back. But at this particular time, he's very, very valuable for the work of the Lord. He's a man that's gone through trying times.
And I did. I gave him a battle. I gave him a hard time. I don't deny for 1 minute. I don't also deny that he didn't ask for it at times. But I'll say this. He's got a character that's sterling as gold. He's made everything work for him instead of against him. And that's the mark of a Christian. He's entitled to healing. He's entitled to prayer of faith. I hope we can give it to him. What many men are entitled to, the church never gives. The Bible says the prayer of faith shall save the sick and the Lord will raise him up. Where are the prayer of faith these days? I want to ask some questions. We need to examine ourselves. How far have we been pulled away by stupidity and foolishness? The glib tongue, my brother and sister, is not of God. The truth never was pretty. Jesus was an ugly man. But if you look inside, you'd see an eternity of beauty and glory. Yeah. Let's rise and be dismissed. Heavenly Father, we are dismissing tonight in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we go, Lord, I am going to be honest as I have to be because you know my heart anyway. It's not too often I pray the prayer of faith. I really know that something was moving and happening. I know really that his healing does not depend upon that. It depends upon your faithfulness, your faith. And yet, Lord, I know that we've got to believe you. And that will save the sick. My brother White's been through some hard, trying times. He's a soldier of the cross. He's trying to serve you. He's gone down and preached for Doc, for Brother Miller, maybe 3 times. Helped Pete out when he went to help another church. Preached beautifully, acceptably, simple, true word of God. And Lord, if he's going to be helpful to these men, and there could be quite a bit of it in the future. We all know he needs his health and strength, even though, Lord, he could go there in a wheelchair and do good. But the prophet said, serving the Lord is entitled to a healthy body. We don't have to remind you, Lord. We're just reminding ourselves tonight. So we're praying for our precious brother, Brother White. And God, if there's any faith in us at all to believe, and we know there is, may it spring free tonight and touch that brother and raise him up. There won't be one more bit of fever, one more pain in the kidneys, one more of anything, Lord. But the beautiful healing of Jesus Christ. A body to glorify you, to serve you acceptably, and just be a real brother to everyone that loves this word. A real servant to those in need. A comfort in sorrow, because that's his heart's desire. Grant it, Lord, in the body to go with it. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray, amen. Take the name of Jesus with you. We mentioned the other day about the ordinances. And he's talking about the ordinances. And before he gets to communion, which is certainly an ordinance, he's talking about an ordinance in the home and in the church, which is the man cuts his hair and the woman doesn't cut hers. So, cut hair is a no-no. How can a woman go to the Lord's table for their haircut? How can she go not under submission? To the word of Almighty God. See? Also, how could a woman go to the table of God dressed unseemly? No matter how much you preach, you find people just don't believe nothing. You know, women here didn't like the idea about, and some of the men didn't either, when I said, you women, you better get that slit out of the back of your skirt. I went so far to explain, though I haven't given you the whole truth of it, that they'll likely shock you, showing how much you really know about life and what's out there. Remember the Balmy's girl that came to Brother Branham and said, Brother Branham, is it okay if I let my slip show about an inch below my skirt? And he said, sister, what in the world would make a woman want to show her underclothes? And what was in this church that women walked down this aisle with those skirts open? Now come on, you men, you're supposed to run your home. You don't dare tell your wife she's got an evil spirit on her, a filthy spirit? No, because she'd smack your chops in. Where are you? What kind of wives you got? What'd you marry? What'd you women marry? My wife and I have no trouble. I mentioned, maybe you should let your hair grow long because Brother Branham's no tiddlywink. She said, fine, I like it. What,
can you come to the table of God? With a filthy spirit on you. Little Amish girl wanted to show 1 inch of petticoat. Cute little lace, I guess. Cute little lacy hat and a cute little inch of the petticoat. Filthy spirit. Oh, no, brother. Oh, no. Oh, my. Oh, yeah. Filthy spirit. What do you want excuses for? Huh? Like the preacher got drunk. Why did he get drunk? Well, you see, he had to have wine to relax to go to sleep at night. How many preachers are alcoholics today because the doctor said take a sip of wine? They're boozers now. Bible said sin entered and death by sin. And what was the first manifestation of sin that brought death? Two naked people indulging in sex they had no right to at that particular time. So he covered their bodies. You think Brother Branham would say, Brother Bale, you opened your mouth too loud when you told about slit? Come on, if he couldn't stand an inch of petticoat, they'd even get more covering the skirt. But it suggested, didn't it? It suggested, didn't it? Oh, yeah. Filthy spirit. Well, you say, men got a filthy spirit on them. Well, sisters, that's your business, whatever you think. I can argue. But I didn't say men should do it. I can't believe that. No. Table of the Lord is a very, very precious, sincere thing. We don't have women wearing men's clothes, men wearing women's clothes, men leaving their hair grow long, and women cutting their hair off. We don't find men superseding women or what they're supposed to do, and women superseding men. You know, the one girl that doesn't come here anymore, she really doesn't like me because she said, you got to watch Brother Bale. He's trying to take authority over the church. Listen, if I don't teach you the word of God, I'm exposed to it. I'm delinquent, and you're in trouble. I never took authority over anybody in my life. What do I care what anybody does? I just preach the word, hoping somehow it'll take authority over me. But you see, she can't stand it, because I caught her. I don't care what Brother Branham says, she told me. I go to the Bible. I said, sister, Brother Branham just got it out of the Bible. Yeah. Yeah. Just wonder sometimes. You see why I preach? That if you don't have your passive faith right, forget about your active, because you ain't going to do it anyway. How far did I get tonight over here? I'll let you get home pretty soon so you roll your clocks. Yeah, I'll get over here later on. We're going to get over here, yeah, later. So I'll have to bring it in. All right. What does it say? Paul received what he didn't see and didn't know, and God just gave him a vision, talked to him, said, this is how it is. Explained it. Now, these are emblems. And you're supposed to be 100% with the emblem, right? No leaven. Bread made up. Wine. Because of what it types. Okay. We know that's true. And this being the case, we also remember, Brother Branham said, we're little messiahs, we're little gods. Fact of the matter is, we are children of God. sons of God, joint heir with Christ, if we suffer with him. Now, one is an emblem. The other is reality. Now, you know why that Jesus is not ashamed of us? Not because of what we've done or ever will do. He's not ashamed because we're all of one source. We have one Father. So what does the communion table then tell us? We come together having one Father. So your testimony tonight is, I am a child of God. I know in whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed him against that day, which is this day. I recognize his presence and his worth. And in as much humility as I can muster within me and bring myself down, I admit his truth. And everything he said about me was good. I accept it. And here's my witness tonight. I'm a part of his body. I'm living on the life that was given back to come upon the seed. That's what you're looking at. Let's rise at this time. The elders, brethren, come forward. And remember, we have foot washing right away. There's room here for 12 brethren right away. So your foot washing goes smoothly. And you know how we serve. We come around fairly rapidly. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we're about to partake of these emblems, where we stand guard, as Brother Branham said, we know they represent something so tremendous in this world that the actual taking of them, not as though nothing in themselves, but symbolize and stand for the act of all history, right to this point where we recognize that life that was given is back here upon the people. And the life of God was manifested in this hour, proving that this is the end time. And we with confidence, Lord, can partake of these emblems to the glory of God, in sweet fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit, and together recognizing our position and place in Christ, because we are the children, and because we do believe, and by your grace, overcoming, getting out of the way, as the prophet did and taught us, we too can live lives, Lord, that can contribute to your glory, for this is that sacred, wonderful hour. Help us, therefore, may we not be in vain, or in any way out of line. Cleanse our hearts by the blood. Establish us through the life of the Spirit and the Word. And unto you we give the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
We all finished up here now? Not quite. One more. Let's rise and be dismissed, shall we, at this particular time? Heavenly Father, again we want to thank you for your word of life, which we know is the word of life because it's proven to be so, and we know therefore being that complete word of life which has been given us, also will come forth the resurrection from amongst the dead, our beloved ones, Lord, especially led, we believe, by Brother Branham, and then the others coming forth, and we gather together, Lord, to meet the Lord Jesus Christ in the sky for the wedding supper and the reincarnation. And we, Lord, receiving what we are due by grace, Lord, not by works which we have done, but according to your mercy and your wonderful grace, Lord, based upon being your children. And we thank you for that. Now we pray, Lord, as we go, you give us journey, mercy, safety, preservation. And we pray, Lord, that also a night's rest and relaxation, Father, not just to relax us and be rested for the sake of that, but, Lord, for the strength within us that is required even as we try to do spiritual things, help people, and people try to help each other, Lord, all these things are involved therein. We ask you, Father, that you do that for us and help us, and may we come together tomorrow with a true spirit of Jesus Christ, a true wonderment of the Word, Lord, a true desire to serve you more and more and to get out of the way, Lord, as the prophet said, actually, as Paul said, to die, to actually die unto ourselves and then to die daily concerning those things that are round about us. These things, Lord, are scriptural. We want them. We're asking you to help us, Father. Just may the eternal life and that great glow of that word supersede everything and supercharge us to come right into obedience of it, O God.
that we might be those mature, elect, select children of God. And we give you all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Take the name of Jesus with you.